Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The Bible teaches that the day of judgment is coming when all mankind will be judged by Jesus. And at that time, all will either enter into eternal life or into eternal punishment. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Paul talks about the judgment in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5. Here he says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Now, Paul was a servant of Christ. He was a steward. A steward was a servant who was entrusted with the property of his master to be used according to the will of his master. Well, Paul had been entrusted with the mysteries of God, to make known and proclaim the mysteries of God. One day he knew that he would stand before his master to be judged as to whether he had been faithful as a steward. From this passage, there are some important lessons we learn about the judgment. And these are the lessons I want to consider today on our program. We're glad that you're with us. The first thing we learn about the judgment from this passage is that the opinions of men have no say whatsoever in the judgment. Paul says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court." One fact about stewardship is that a steward is judged by his master and not by other stewards. Other stewards may think their fellow steward is serving faithfully, or they may think he is failing in his service, but their judgment means nothing. What really matters is what the master thinks. Paul's responsibility as a steward was to proclaim the mysteries of God to a lost and dying world. Well, was Paul faithful as a steward of the mysteries of God? Well, others within the church may have thought Paul was not a faithful steward, but that didn't matter to him. Their judgment of him was a small thing. What did matter to him was the Lord's estimation of him and his stewardship. Now, I have to admit to you that when I die, I hope the person who preaches my funeral can express a confidence, a hope that I am with the Lord. Now, I don't want the funeral to be all about me, but I hope he can say that I was a faithful servant of Christ. But for someone to say that about me at my funeral makes me no safer in the judgment before Christ than if he didn't say it. What a man says at my funeral does not amount to anything as to how prepared I am to meet Christ in the judgment. The opinions of men don't count in the judgment. And this is the reason why hypocrisy is so irrational. Hypocrites on the outside present themselves as faithful Christians, but on the inside, in their hearts, there really is no love for Christ. There is no commitment to Him. They put on this show so that they might impress men. Well, Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 2. He says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward." Hypocrites offer service to Christ to be seen of men, so they will receive the praise of men. Well, Jesus says, they have their reward. They got what they wanted, the praise of men. But that is their reward. It's their reward in full. They will not have any reward from the Father in heaven. You see, the opinions of men mean nothing in the judgment. What will matter is the opinion of our Lord. Let me illustrate it like this. There was a woman who was a professional violinist. She played before large audiences. One night she gave a beautiful performance that resulted in the standing ovation of the audience. After the performance, a friend of hers went backstage to congratulate her. Her friend found her weeping. She asked, "Why are you crying? You played beautifully. The audience loved you." She said, "Yes, all but one. He didn't applaud. He didn't stand." Her friend said, "Are you going to allow this one man to ruin your evening when everybody else thought you played beautifully?" She said, "You don't understand. That one man is my teacher." You see, in her mind, if she didn't please her teacher, then she was a failure. You know, we may please the whole world in how we live our lives, but if we don't please our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, then it will not go well for us in the judgment. Now let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Another thing that we learn about the judgment from this passage is that my opinion of myself will not count in the judgment. Look again at verses 3 and 4. Paul says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord." When Paul says, "In fact, I do not even judge myself," he's not saying that he did not practice self-examination so that he could make proper changes in his life. But he is saying that even his judgment of himself is not the final say concerning the acceptability of his stewardship. He may think that his work is wonderful, but he is not justified by that, he says. What really matters is the Lord's evaluation of his service. Paul says, "For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord." When Paul says, "For I know nothing against myself," he is not saying that he never committed any sin. As a matter of fact, in one place he calls himself a chief of sinners, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. What he's saying here is that by the grace of God, he was not aware of any unforgiven sin that stood between him and God. I tell you, it is a wonderful thing that one can say, "I know nothing against myself." But Paul is also saying here that he is not justified by this. A person may have a very high opinion of himself, but that will not count in the judgment. Again, what matters is the Lord's judgment. You know, occasionally you hear people say, "I just know I am saved because of the peace I have right here in my heart." But we must understand that my evaluation of myself is not the basis by which I will be judged. The Bible teaches that it is possible for us to be deceived and to think that we are right when in actuality we are wrong. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." You know, there may be something that seems right to me, but it is the way of death. Well, how can I know what is right? Well, we can be assured we can know, and that's by reading what the Lord says in His Word. Jesus said in praying to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." John 17, verse 17. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we can know the truth. And then look with me also in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now here Jesus tells us about people at the judgment who believe that they are right. But the Lord says, "No, you're not all right. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Well, why? Well, it was because they had not done the will of the Father. They were practicing lawlessness. They could have known and done the will of the Father if they wanted to. They could have learned the law and done the law so that they would not be guilty of lawlessness, but they had neglected to learn and do the will of the Father. They evidently relied on their own ideas about what was right and wrong. They were secure in how they felt in their heart rather than knowing what the Lord said. And so it is not a matter of how I feel or being so sure in my heart. It is a matter of whether I have done the Father's will. You know, this is why Bible study is so important. The only way that we're going to know the will of the Father is by reading and studying the Bible. You know, I may think I'm right because it feels right, but that will not matter in the judgment. What will matter to the Lord is whether I have learned and done the Father's will. To illustrate, let's compare coming before the Lord in the judgment to taking a final exam in school. Have you ever come to a final exam quite sure that you really didn't know what was in the textbook? You don't know what is in the book, and yet you're about to be examined by what's in the book. Well, that's an uneasy feeling, isn't it? But can you imagine standing before Christ in judgment to be judged by what is in the book, and you have not taken the time to make sure that you know and have done what is in the book? Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Yes, the words of Jesus will be the standard by which we'll be judged. We better know what is in the book. Well, look with me again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What's going to count in the judgment? Well, it's not what others think about us. It's not what we think about ourselves. What really will count in the judgment is to have the praise of God. Look at verse 5 again. "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." You know, several things here. First, he is talking about a judgment that will take place when the Lord comes again. And secondly, notice what kind of judgment will take place. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. The Lord will make manifest those hidden evil things that we think no one else knows about. He will bring it to light in the judgment. Here's a person who is doing some sin in secret, thinking no one knows about it. The community doesn't know about it. The church doesn't know about it. Well, that's the very thing God is going to make manifest. If you think no one will ever know it, it will be known then. But also, those who have done good and been faithful stewards will at this time receive praise from God. Paul says that each one's praise will come from God. You know, in the parable of the talents recorded in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says that the master will say to those servants who did the Lord's will, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I want to tell you something. If you hear these words from our Lord in the judgment, what other people may have thought about you or said about you won't really matter. These will be the sweetest words you have ever heard, and that's the praise of God. What will matter in the judgment? Well, it's not what others think of you. It's not what you think of yourself. What will matter is what the Lord thinks of you. Are you ready for the judgment? Why not make ready today? Before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you also are able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. Now, that web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ. Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship. Sunday evening at 5 for worship. Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.